Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the greatness of your love, the provisions of our great salvation, the position we have in and through Jesus Christ because the work of redemption is completed. Lord, as we talk on special things tonight, we just claim your Holy Spirit's working in each one of our hearts. We know that the center of the message is in the center of every one of our lives. And Lord, we pray that we'll just see your special working and give thee the praise and give thee the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For several months, I've had three messages in a series, and I don't know if any of you put it together that each message was a series, and tonight continues that series. We've been looking at the body, the soul, the spirit. We're a trichotomy being. God's creation is just magnificent, and we in that creation have something no other part of creation has it. That's body, soul, spirit. We look at animals, and your pet may be very smart. And they say your pet's a dog, and he has a body. He has a brain. But he doesn't have the process what we have in our brain, the thinking process that we can do. He's programmed to be a dog. And all animals are programmed. The birds are programmed for what they do. And it's natural. We are God's special creation in that we are made in the very image of God himself. And God has made things very, very special. He knew before creation that man was going the direction man has gone. But he didn't change his plans. He knew this was going to happen. So even before creation started, plans were made. And his son, Jesus Christ, made the plan at that point that at a given time, he would come to planet Earth and take upon himself what man has in special creation, a body. He was to leave what he had, and once he took upon himself a human body, he would have that body for eternity. So when we meet Jesus Christ after the rapture, we'll see him different than Adam and Eve saw him, because they didn't see him in a body. They saw him as an angel, and that was Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form. But we'll see him in a body. And something unusual, the scars on his hands will still be there. So we're different. We have the new birth. When we were born, body, soul, spirit, the spirit part of every one of us was unable to function. It was dead in trespasses and sins. But once we received Jesus Christ, that miracle took place in us, and with the new birth, a spirit that had life. And beyond that, we had the whole Godhead come into us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. At that same moment, our bodies became a temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of the whole Godhead in us. We've looked at that. In fact, we spent two messages looking at the body, soul, spirit, but those first two messages we looked at the body and the windows of our body, our five senses that affect the soul of our bodies. And we saw how that took place. Last time, we went into us and we looked at our great minds, the minds, the thinking process that God has given us. A great intellect in our brains and the thinking process of our minds. And we looked in three areas of individuals. We looked at ourselves as unsaved individuals, and there our mind just interested in the unsaved world. Then some of us very early had a seeking for the Lord, and the Lord worked it out for us to receive His Son. And we received Him, and the miracle of the new birth took place. We looked at the mind, the thinking process of believers. My, how different it is with the thinking of believers. Yes, we're so, from the five senses, there's a lot of garbage tries to come in, but we're able to sift it and have our interests in God. Then we looked at a third area of the carnal believer. And maybe all of us have had times where we got out of fellowship with God, and we recognized what was happening to us wasn't good. I've known of some carnal believers, so I could question my own mind, wondered, is this person really saved? Professes to be saved, but you don't see it. Some of them are that way. They have professed, and that's all it is, not a possession, a profession. And we looked at that area. Tonight, I'd like to have us look at another aspect of ourselves. Last Wednesday, Brother Wayne Collins ended his message where this message begins. He had us thinking on the Spirit. And I want to have you be thinking tonight with me on our spirit, the body, soul, spirit, and what happens with it, the intellect, the emotion, the will, and how it's put into action. I'd like to have you think with me how our wills, in the spirit, part of us, not really the spirit, but our soul, the action of our souls as it thinks about what happens to us. And our wills become the action of our minds, the action of our bodies. So the will that we have has an action that takes place. Like we thought, one of the messages touched on what probably was the very first word of every single one of us in this room. Begins with the letter N, ends with the letter O. No. And that was our will, was I want my way. And some of you may have had times when your folks looked at your parents, looked at you, or you may have looked at your own child, one of your children, and said, oh, just a spoiled brat. Why? The will was so powerful. And this is what we're going to be looking at tonight. Our wills. Not a will you're going to write out for after you die, so where your possessions go. But what we do, our whole action of our very selves, the mind tells us what to do or what not to do. Sometimes our mind will say, now look, this that you're thinking about doing isn't good, don't do it. Sometimes we'll say, I'm going to do it anyhow. And then we yield and we know that it's wrong. As they get into this, I want us to first look at Jesus Christ and how he utilized the very power of his will. He too, in his human body, had a will. Now, we know that with Jesus Christ, with his action of his will put into process, never sinned. I've often thought, he brought up four children, all my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all of them with wills, and none of them perfect. Far, far from perfect. And just those stubborn wills. Well, that wasn't Christ. Can you imagine his home that he was brought up in? That never a stubborn nature in him. Always, always obedient all the way. His brothers and sisters weren't probably too happy with him. It's like in Joseph's home, he had 10 older brothers, and boy, they didn't like him one iota. And they hated him for what he was. You know what things would happen in his life. He had a will that wanted to obey God, and that took place as a young person. And he had that reputation as a teenager of wanting to do that which was right, and God honored it and blessed it. Jesus Christ always wanted to do God's will. So I'd like to have us, first of all, look at some of the thinking of Christ regarding his will. The first thought I want to bring to you is when he was teaching his disciples how to pray. Matthew chapter 6. We have what's called the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. And in chapter 6, at verse 9 says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." He's talking with his disciples. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? "In earth and as it is in heaven." Thy will, God's will, be done. God's will be done in his life. God's be done here. His will be done here on planet Earth. And as he was communicating with the disciples on teaching them how to pray, being conscious of the very will of God, letting their wills be submissive to God's will. So we find this early in his ministry, teaching them how to pray. I was talking on the phone today with a gentleman that can get lengthy in his talking, but got to counseling him a little bit on the phone, and he asked me, "Well, how old are you, Mr. Mudge?" Well, in fact, at that point, he didn't know my last name. He found out some other way, but "How old are you?" And I told him my age. "I can't believe it." And he's a few years younger. And said, "What's going on in your life?" And I told him a little problem. He said, "Can we pray about it?" And I said, "Well, I want to tell you something. If you want to pray for me, I do not want you telling God what to do in my life. That's not what I want." And I just shook him apart a little bit. So we then had a nice little discussion on the will of God and talking this direction. Wanting God's will in our lives, in every detail. Well, this is what Christ was trying to teach his disciples is on the will of God. Turn with me next to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, it's an interesting incident. Christ and the disciples are going from Judea up to Galilee, and the normal travel route for the Jews to go up to Galilee, rather than going straight north from Jerusalem and thus go through Samaria, they would cross the Jordan River and go up on the other side, and then when they get up near Galilee, cross back over and get up to Galilee. But Christ said, as in verse 5 of chapter 4 of John, we must needs go through Samaria. Verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. And the Jews just didn't want to do that. There was hatred towards the Samaritans. And Christ said, we must do it. He knew that at Jacob's well up in Samaria, there was going to be a woman there who needed some very, very special help. And as we know, things continue along. He and the disciples stopped at the well. They left him there, and they went into town to get some food. And this woman alone came to get water. And the discourse was taking place of the needing the well or needing water. And she said, well, you have nothing to drink with. And he offered herself, her the water of life. Then he got personal and said, well, go tell your husband this. And she said, I don't have one. He said, you're right. You've had four, and the one you're with now isn't your husband. That shook her up a little bit. And then it went on. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is cometh, verse 25, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. He saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm that one you know about, and in your heart you're seeking. And she left, went back to town, in fact, left a water pot there, and hurried back into town, and she told them about the Messiah being there at Jacob's well. And they believed the message she was giving, so a whole group of them came out. But while she had gone back, the disciples got back there. They were wondering why he was spending time with a Samaritan woman. And they wanted to offer him food. Verse 31, in the meanwhile, while the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. His meat to do the will, the one who sent him, the will of God. That's front and center in his life, doing God's will. That's Christ. Go to chapter 5 of John. Pastor quotes verse 30 very often. I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. I'm seeking God's will. The will of the one who sent me. God sent him to this earth. And we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He sent his only begotten Son here. God sent him with a special message. And the whole thing, to go to the cross. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, Paul, in writing to young Timothy, as was brought out Sunday, his son in the faith, and he says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. God's desire, that all people will be saved. Christ died for the whole world. He didn't die for a few elect people. He died for the whole world. And so important to realize this. Salvation is open to everyone. Whosoever cometh to him and seeks him, and asks, requests him to come in, he will come into their lives. And every one of us, if we've cried out to the Lord for salvation, that new birth experience took place right then. It's wow. Turn to 2 Peter 3:9. There, Peter brings out, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, when Christ died on the cross, all the sin of the world, past, present, and future, was laid on him. Before you and I were saved, the price of our sin was already paid for. Paid in full. But we weren't saved. The price paid, all we had to do is what we've done, is receive Jesus Christ in our hearts. It's wonderful when you think of it. Now I want to switch gears. We've been looking at the will of Christ. Now I want you with me to look right down at our own wills. Some cases, there might be quite a stubborn streak in us of wanting our way. Like, for example, how close do you want to get to Jesus Christ? How much of you do you want him to control? That's up to us. He wants us in total. He's purchased us with a price, and he wants us in total, but we don't want to give all to Christ. Now, Pastor said it, I've said it, a good test, just one single word, worry. You're a good worrier? There's no such thing as a good worrier. When we're worrying, we're not trusting. The trusting we give is ourselves. We worry about things, how we're going to handle it, and we're not willing to let God do it all the way. His way is best. It's wonderful when we just sense his way. Okay, let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Let's start at verse 14. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, this is believers he's talking to, asleep spiritually. And Paul's saying, wake, wake up. You've got work to do. Don't walk in foolish ways. Be wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, just a few weeks ago, pastor in a study in Jeremiah took that one word, understanding, and saw how Jeremiah, he understood the working of God. Then we looked at a few men in Scripture who had an understanding of what God was doing. Do we have an understanding of what God is doing? Do we have an understanding that you and I are vessels in the Lord's hands and he has a job to do for us to do, using us? We are lights in a very dark world. Or do we let that light be covered with the bushel basket? You know, this, all the song goes, don't do it. Satan wants it covered. And the Lord says, I want you to be a light for me. Let it shine. The gentleman I was talking with on the phone this morning, I was telling him, as you seek to walk in God's will, you're a vessel in the Lord's hands. He asked me, how can I witness? How can I be a witness? I told him, you can't. God, the Holy Spirit who is in you, will open things up. And He'll control conversation. There'll be a conversation that, bang, you can latch onto it. I said, God has special details of working things out. He called me later in the day and says, I don't want to take a lot of time. I just want to tell you, as I was listening to you, God gave me a detail at a cash register. When a woman at the cash register said, this is what, at that point he knew my name. Mr. Munchie had talked with someone else, who another pastor that we know and knew my name. And he said, that's what Mr. Mudge said to me. Watch for the detail. And he had an opportunity to witness. Found out that the person was a born-again believer. And he said, it was such a delight to me to have God work this very special detail. I'm his light. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter again. In fact, before we do it, we're still in Ephesians. Let's jump down to chapter 6 of Ephesians. In verse 5. It's a section on obeying. Starts off verse 1, children obey. And then in the section on right here, servants obey. And down a little further, verse 9, masters obey. We'll start, just take the little section on servants. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Servants. Now, this word servant is slave. We know today what's thought about slavery. And so much against some of our forefathers who actually had slaves working for them. Well, the context here is that we are one of those slaves obeying our master, who is the slave owner. And that it should be with our whole heart that we're in obedience. And our thinking is, Paul put it himself, says, God, I not only want to be a slave, I want to be a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I want to obey him in all that I'm doing. You're my master. Doing the will of God from the heart. And thus, with us being conscious of the presence of God in our lives. And that we're sensitive to God in God's direction. And just wanting to not go the world's way, not get caught in those traps of the world's way, but how does God handle those situations? Wanting his will. Now as we was headed to 1 Peter, let's go back to 1 Peter this time. It was 2 Peter before. 1 Peter chapter 2. And Peter's writing to believers who, because of intense persecution, had to flee from Jerusalem and to other areas. And so as in the chapter 1, he speaks of them as, dearly beloved, I beseech you. Here too, in verse 11 of chapter 2, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from filthy lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king to the king as supreme, or unto governors, unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Conscious of the will of God in our lives. Let's come back to Romans chapter 12. Here in verse 1 of chapter 12, Paul is writing to the Roman believers. And he starts off the same way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This isn't something to be literally done, to put ourselves on an altar and have our bodies sacrificed to death. But as far as we're concerned, there's no good thing in us. And we think of the old nature. It's rotten to the core. There's no good in it. And in fact, as believers, we should be willing to have it just crucified, but reminding ourselves day by day that there's absolutely no good in the old nature. It's rotten to the core. And we want to be sensitive to what God is doing in us and using us wherever we are. So we come to verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's difficult sometimes to really want the will of God. I told you in my last message how I've shared with some doctors as they've had come to me with what they thought was very bad news. And as I shared with them, whatever God wants is okay. I had one of the doctors say, "Ray, good luck." I believe I told you this last time. He said, "Good luck." And I stopped him and I said, "No, not good luck. God is in the middle. Whatever he wants, it's okay." And I mentioned that when he said that and I made my comment, he stopped short. He didn't finished going to the door, he turned around a little bit and this isn't what I expected. Wanting the will of God in total, what it is. When I had my throat problem a little over a year ago, doctors told me they was going to have surgery in it and didn't know what the results would be. I told him, whatever is the will of God, it's okay. It's okay. And I have not lost any sleep through these processes. And God's will, wanting God's will. And Paul, God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient." We can all know the sufficiency of God's grace for every one of us personally. It's wonderful. So I'm going to skip a little bit. I want to come down to two closing verses that have already been used in these last 2 weeks, but just to re-emphasize in our thinking these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verses 16 and 17, here Paul talking to the Corinthian believers who were very, very carnal in their lives, so many of them, and he told them, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Boy, what value God puts in us. We, His temple. Continuing, verse 16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that your Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Then going to chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now notice, he mentions body and spirit. The body we live on, and the spirit, really, spirit and soul, which is the you and me in that body. And for us to glorify God in our bodies, we being light bearers of the wonderful message of truth, wherever we are, letting Him shine. Not being looked at as fake believers, but it's real in each and every one of our lives. Jesus Christ, how close do you want to be to Him? My desire, let's get closer and closer and closer, not to move away, but closer to Him. And we find His love is just so wonderful, as we began an opening song tonight. The love of God to us is so marvelous. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the greatness of Thy love. We thank You for Thy word, and that which we've been able to consider tonight. And Lord, as we think of our wills being submitted to Thee, so is Jesus Christ Himself wholeheartedly wanted Your will done. We too wanting Your will in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.